This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The BC Supreme Court has given the go-ahead to three Eritrean refugees to proceed with a civil lawsuit against a Vancouver-based mining company they accuse of using forced labor. The plaintiffs claim that Nevsun, which is a majority owner of the Bisha mine in Eritrea, was, quote, an accomplice to the use of forced labor, crimes against humanity, and other human rights abuses. This groundbreaking case is one of the first human rights lawsuits in Canada to assert claims based directly on international law. Mark Eisenbrandt is the legal director of the Canadian Centre for International Justice and is a member of Eritrean's legal team. He joins me this morning. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Esther. How are you?
Good. Tell us who the plaintiffs are that you are representing and what are their allegations they are bringing in this suit.
Yeah, there are three Eritrean men who brought this case initially, and all three of them were workers at the Bisha mine in Eritrea, and all three of them allege that they were forced to either go there in the first place or to stay there working under really terrible conditions, including working in extreme heat, being given very little and poor food, having really terrible accommodations or nowhere good to sleep, and essentially that they were forced to work at the mine against their will, and they weren't allowed to leave. And when they finally did leave, they had to escape and leave Eritrea altogether.
A 2013 report by the Human Rights Watch on mining activities in Eritrea begins with the words, quote, Eritrea is a pariah state. Its government has pursued a path of crushing political repression. How does the Bisha mine owned by Nevsun fit into this picture?
Well, it's a very important economic actor in Eritrea, and in fact, in the judgment the other day, the judge mentioned that in talking about the fact that these men have had to flee Eritrea and can't go back, and the judge actually pointed to the fact that in his words, it's a commercial enterprise, which is the primary economic generator in one of the poorest countries in the world. And of course, in addition to being one of the poorest countries in the world, as you said, Eritrea is a dictatorship and has been for decades now, where, you know, it is, as we've alleged in the case, one of the most repressive countries in the world. And Nevsun is one of, you know, is either the most or one of the most important sources of revenue for the regime.
And can you describe the system of forced military conscription that you've claimed is supplying workers to the mine?
Yeah, there are a lot of different forms of it, but in essence, Eritrea has and has had for a long time a system of military conscription, which initially, you know, was not necessarily different than what a lot of countries have. And there was an 18-month period where there was, you know, military training and then either military service or some sort of, you know, what was deemed more like what we would think of more of like civilian service, you know, public works and things like that. But years ago, the government just extended the length of conscription indefinitely. And so conscription is now widespread throughout the country in many different areas. In fact, we put into evidence in the case the testimony of a number of judges who said that they were conscripted to be judges, right? So we're not just talking about workers at a mine. We're talking about conscription in all sorts of areas. And so this is now a system that is not only nationwide, but it is a truly systematic thing. And so one of the reasons that you see so many people fleeing from Eritrea is because they're fleeing this system of conscripted labor where essentially, particularly young men, but others can be just taken and said, you are going to work here and you have no choice in it and you cannot leave. And if you do leave and you try and flee the country, you may be deemed a traitor to Eritrea. So it is a widespread system of forced labor throughout the country. That's something that Human Rights Watch has documented, and certainly is something that is central to the allegations that we have put forward in the case.
I just want to bring you back to that point of an indefinite period of conscription. I find it very mind-boggling that something like that could be instituted.
Yeah, well, I think it's part and parcel of the fact that it's a dictatorship. There are very few checks on the power of the president in Eritrea, and the military has an immense amount of power in Eritrea. Former fighters from the very long war with Ethiopia for Eritrea to gain its independence, people who fought and were leaders in that war are, at the highest levels of society in Eritrea and have an immense amount of power. What the government has done in Eritrea is used the threat of war against Ethiopia as a reason to indefinitely extend conscription. And so, they claim it's for national security purposes. But in fact, as we're alleging in this case, and as there is evidence in other situations, in fact, oftentimes the conscription is not about military service, but is instead about working at a mine or construction projects and building houses for high-ranking military members and things like that. So it is it's something that is the way it has played out is unique to the Eritrean government, the Eritrean system.
And why is this case in Vancouver, and why did the judge decide it can go forward in a BC court?
The case is in Vancouver because NEVSIN is incorporated here and has their headquarters in Vancouver. And so the plaintiffs in the case, feel that it is important for NEVSIN as a Canadian company to be held responsible in a Canadian court. What NEVSIN did when the case was filed against it was made the argument that the case should be heard in Eritrea. And the company argued that, in fact, Eritrea has an operating judicial system that is independent. It could provide a fair and free process in this case. We disagreed, and we presented extensive evidence to say that not only is Eritrea a dictatorship, but the judicial system has no independence, from the dictatorship. It is basically controlled. As I mentioned, we put forward evidence from judges themselves who were conscripts, and we put into evidence a lot of those reports, Human Rights Watch and others. And in the end, the judge decided that there was a real risk that there would not be a fair trial in Eritrea, and so he ruled that the case should stay in Vancouver. And I'll add to that. I mean, there was a mountain of evidence about this issue, but one of the central things that was considered was that these men have fled Eritrea. They can't go back. And even though Nevsun argued that they would somehow be able to hire lawyers to represent them, even though they couldn't go back, the judge rejected that, and it was a really central feature of the decision that that these men are refugees and had to leave Eritrea. So at the end of the day, Vancouver was really the only place where this case could go forward, and we're certainly happy that the judge agreed with that and that the case will move forward here.
And what's the importance of this precedent?
Well, there are a few firsts in this case. It is the first case of this type that has been allowed to go forward in British Columbia. There's another case involving a Canadian mining company called Tahoe Resources that we are also involved in, and there was a lawsuit brought by seven men who were shot by mine security in Guatemala. But that case was, unlike this one, the judge in that case ruled that the case could be heard in Guatemala. And that case is actually now on appeal, and on November 1st will be in front of the BC Court of Appeal in Vancouver. So on that issue, that case did not advance at least initially. So the Nevsun decision is the first one that has been able to go forward in BC. And in Canada-wide, there's only been really one other case that is ongoing that is being allowed to advance through the courts, and that's sort of three cases that are consolidated together against Hudbay Minerals. So there's been difficulty in getting these types of cases going in Canadian courts, but we hope that the Nevsun case is going to show that, in fact, Canadian courts are more open to these kinds of claims, particularly for people like the plaintiffs in this case, who have nowhere else to turn. They certainly cannot pursue a case in Eritrea, and the only place that they can go to seek justice is in Canada. We think that these cases can be very important in providing accountability, and they're of particular importance because there's really no meaningful regulation in Canada of the activities of Canadian mining companies operating abroad. There's virtually no regulation. There is a what's called a Corporate Social Responsibility Counselor that was first started by the Harper government and at least at the moment is being continued by the Trudeau government. But it really is an institution that has very little authority and relies on the voluntary participation of companies. And so as a result of that, there simply aren't many places for people to turn when they've been subjected to the kind of abuses that these men were subjected to in Eritrea.
And Matt, what are the next steps in this case?
So we will have to see if Nevsun decides to appeal, I expect that we'll find that out in the coming month or two. But regardless, the case will now be in front of the judge to set out a calendar for the case advancing eventually to trial. The next step in these sorts of civil lawsuits is a process of what's called discovery, where there is exchange of evidence. And we expect that we will have the opportunity now to get access to a number of documents in Nevsun's possession about the operations and about what they knew about the human rights situation at the mine. In addition to that, there's testimony that's taken and everything else. So we expect the process of discovery to go forward now and eventually for the case to advance to trial, although that usually takes a couple of years to actually get to that point.
Well, Matt, we wish you the very best with your work on this case, and thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about this very important precedent.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I've been speaking with Matt Eisenbrand. He is the legal director of the Canadian Centre for International Justice.